Good evening. Thank you very much for joining us tonight for our time of ministry in the Word of God in our Bible study. Hallelujah. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and we will be glad in it. Our God is so good. Our God is so faithful. He's so kind. He's so amazing. I trust that you are doing well, you and your loved ones. What a blessed season this is. What a glorious season. Truly, we serve a living God. Our Father is just, there are just no words to describe how good He is. And in this season, as we celebrate the sacrifices of our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ, everything that He did for us to buy us back, to give us redemption, as we walk through the things that He had to endure, the pain, the torture, the affliction, the betrayal, and everything, our hearts really rejoice. And we're very thankful. We're not going to rush past this. We're not going to rush past some of the details of what our Lord did to pay the price for our redemption, to see to it that we are in such a place that we are in our lives. So we give God praise, and I thank you again for joining us. Whatever platform you are joining us on, wherever you are joining us from, in this country, in the United States, and around the world. Thank you, thank you. I am so thankful, I'm so privileged to have this opportunity to lead us in this Bible study tonight. So let's bow our heads. Let's share a word of prayer. Father, we're so thankful to you tonight. We give you praise and we give you glory. We honor you. We magnify your holy name. Thank you. Thank you for everything that you have done for us. Thank you, Lord God, for your mighty presence amongst us tonight. Thank you, Lord, for all of my brothers and sisters that are with us on this Bible study, in this service tonight. Wherever they are, I bless them. I speak blessings upon them and their households. And Lord, we receive illumination. Precious Holy Spirit, we welcome you. We receive all that you have prepared for us today, understanding, great grace, and we thank you for it, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. Glory to God, and thank you so much again, and welcome to our time of ministry in the Word of God and our Bible study. Hallelujah. Just as we were praying, that scripture dropped in my spirit. That's not where I was going to start from tonight, but you know, it's a love revolution, and that's what we've been studying, God's love revolution. Hallelujah. And the scripture of all scriptures, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Hallelujah. God gave his only begotten son, and his son, Jesus, gave his life. And I know that a lot of times that can be a sentence. We just say it. But tonight I want us to just focus a lot on what he did for us and be thankful as we celebrate his death, his burial, his resurrection, and what he continues to do for us to keep us in the blessing of redemption. Hallelujah. But as we were praying, I hadn't planned to go to this scripture, at least not tonight in my preparation, but while we were praying there, it dropped right in my spirit. So I think that's a good place to start from. I wish I had actually read it ahead of the service to map it out as far as what verses I want to read, where I want to start from. But I did not. So I'm just going to go right there straight to that scripture in Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 13. Glory to God. Hallelujah. verse 13 and 14. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Christ has redeemed us from every curse. As a child of God, Jesus paid the ultimate price. He made the ultimate sacrifice so that you and I can be completely redeemed and set free from every curse. Every curse. Jesus paid the price for us to be blessed. So if we know our place, if we recognize what our Savior has done for us, and we abide in the love of God, there is no way that a curse can walk around our lives or our households. The Bible says in the Proverbs, a curse causeless cannot come. That is, unless there is a cause, unless there is an opening, unless there is some ignorance, unless there is some unsettled, unfinished business in our spiritual experience, in our spiritual walk, a curse cannot come near our abode. It cannot come close to our address. It can knock on the door, but you remember what happened during the Passover when the Lord told them the angel of death is going to pass through, but the children of Israel were supposed to all put blood on their lintels. And the Lord said to them, when he sees the blood, he will pass over you. Aha! That blood, that was a foreshadowing of the blood of Jesus Christ that was going to be shed. That blood is our redemption. That blood is our access to the blessing of Abraham. That blood is our exit out of every curse. It's our deliverance and our redemption out of every evil plan that the enemy may have set against us. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Christ, Galatians 3:13, Christ has redeemed us. He has bought us back. In order to buy us back, he paid a price. What was the price? His blood. Glory to God. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. He himself being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree, so that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, and so that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. I love that. That's a great place to start. Jesus paid the price for us. He redeemed us from every curse. He paid the price. He shed his precious blood. That's what we're celebrating in this season. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And every sacrifice that he made was based in love. Every sacrifice that the Lord Jesus Christ made for us was based on love. Everything he did was rooted in love. It was his love for us that compelled him to do what he did. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know where in the scriptures, in one of the epistles, I think it might be 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I haven't, of course, that's another scripture I didn't prepare, but it just came to me now. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And I think somewhere around verse 15, 16, 17, where it says, the love of God compels us. Hallelujah. I think it's 2 Corinthians. Let's see if I can find it. I think it's 2 Corinthians chapter 5. That's it. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, Verse 14, it says, for the love of God constrains us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then all were dead, and that he died for us all, that they who live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him who died for them and rose again. Hallelujah. The love of God constrains us, compels us. Then it says here in verse 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, any man, any woman, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. God has reconciled us to himself by Jesus, because Jesus paid the price, and he has committed to us the ministry of reconciliation. It says, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and has committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in God's stead, be you reconciled to God. For he has made him to be sin. Hallelujah. Glory to God. This is just another rendition of Galatians 3:13, which we read earlier. For God has made him to be sin, who knew no sin, so that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. He made him a curse, so that we can be redeemed from every curse. Hallelujah. And then he says, the love of Christ, that's verse 14, the love of Christ constrains us. The love of God constrained the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything he did was rooted in the love of God. It was the love of God that compelled him. The love of God that he had for his Father and for us was what compelled him to do everything that he did. In Romans chapter 8 from verse 31, actually that's interesting that we've read this now the last couple of weeks during our Bible studies. And this section that starts in verse 31 in Romans chapter 8 actually reads in my own Bible, the heading right there, I don't know what it says in yours, what version of the Bible you have, but the header there for this section from verse 31 all the way down to verse 39 is captioned God's everlasting love. That caught my eyes the other day, and it just exploded within my spirit. God's everlasting love. God's everlasting love. That's the origin of everything that we have. That's the origin of everything that we are. It is everlasting love that has paved the way for us to be called his children. 1 John 3 verse 1, behold what manner of love, and the Amplifier says, what an incredible quality of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the children of God, and so are we. So we are. The love of God. It says God's everlasting love. And then it starts reading from Romans chapter 8 verse 31. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Right? We have God's everlasting love. He who spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Freely give us all things. He spared not his own son, but he delivered him up for us all. How shall he not also with him freely give us all things? Verse 33, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he that condemns? It is Christ that died. This is our verse 34 that we have. Romans 8, 34. We spent some time on this now the last 3 weeks. He says, who is it that condemns? It is Christ that died. Yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of the Father, right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. And we studied this quite a bit last week. Jesus is our high priest. He has a ministry of intercession towards you and towards me. He prays for you every day. He prays for me every day. because he loves us. Hallelujah. We see right there in that scripture in Romans 8:34, the four redemptive acts of Christ. One, he died, his death. Two, he was buried. And then he rose. And then he ascended up to heaven. And today, he has a ministry of intercession for every saint. His death, his resurrection, his ascension, and his intercession. The four acts of Christ, four redemptive acts of Christ's sacrifice for every believer, for the entire world. For God so loved the world that he gave. And the Bible says, when we were yet, and he actually says that we're going to back up, go back a few verses here. A few chapters back to Romans chapter 5. Because he says, while we were yet sinners, that's exactly what the word of God is saying here. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And the Bible says God commended his love towards us. He poured out his love towards us. Hallelujah. He didn't measure it out in a small cup. He poured it out. It was overflowing love. Love that knows no boundaries. Love that knows no judgment. Love that knows no suspicion. Love that knows no silliness, no corruption. He loved us. Hallelujah. He loved us. We thank God for the love that he has for us. We thank God for the sacrifice of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And then, of course, in verse 35, he goes on, who will separate us from the love of Christ? Who can? And then he lists all these things, and he says in verse 37, no, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. We're more than conquerors. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? That is, the love of Christ is the greatest thing in the universe. The love of Christ is the biggest thing in the universe. The love of Christ is the strongest thing in the universe. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Nothing. Who can? No one. It was Christ who died. He was buried. He rose again. He ascended to the right hand of God the Father. And now he intercedes for us. He prays for us. Who can separate us from his love? What can separate us from his love? Nothing. His love is the deepest thing that exists on this universe. I don't care how deep, how fallen a human being is. The love of Christ can go all the way to the very depths, the bottomless pit, and pull them out of there. I don't care how condemned somebody feels. I don't care how bad a life, how terrible a life feels. The love of Christ can come around that life and surround that life and redeem them and buy them back again and give them a new beginning. That's what he did for all of us. Like the psalmist said in Psalm 40, in the 40th Psalm, he took us out of the miry clay. He took our feet out of the miry clay and he placed them on the rock to stay. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That's his love. That's his love. Romans chapter 5. Let's read this from verse 5. Glory to God. Romans chapter 5, from verse 5, talking about hope does not make ashamed. Amen. It says, and hope does not make ashamed because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who is given to us. Hope in God does not make ashamed. No matter what you are dealing with, no matter what you are going through, no matter where you are in life, whether you feel beaten down, whether you feel abandoned, whether you feel tormented, whether you feel you've lost so much, whether you feel things have not panned out the way you hoped, no matter where you are, hope in God will never make ashamed. Why? Because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit who is given to us. Verse 6, for when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commended his love toward us. The word commend means to pour out. He commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He poured out his love. Verse 9, Romans 5 verse 9. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath. Hallelujah. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Verse 10. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more now, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but with joy, or we rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement, redemption, forgiveness, hallelujah, justification. They are all ours because of the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. It cost him everything. He gave everything. He became the substitute for us. He took our place. He took our place. He took our punishment. He took our condemnation because of his love for us. Hallelujah. And that sacrifice rose up to the Father like a sweet-smelling aroma. You remember, like the sacrifice of Noah, the Bible says, you know, when Noah slaughtered after they came out of the ark, and Noah took these animals and he offered a sacrifice to the Lord. And the Bible says that sacrifice rose up to God as a sweet smelling. God smelled a sweet aroma. It wasn't because of the animals. It's not the animals that were killed. It's the power of the sacrifice. Every sacrifice. That's why there's so much power in sacrifice. Hallelujah. And like we said last week, the spirit of love is the spirit of sacrifice. There's nothing greater. You can't love without making sacrifice. And you can't say you made sacrifice, a real sacrifice that is acceptable, without it being based on love. Hallelujah. Sacrifice is so powerful. I love that line in our confession. I read it a couple of times. I don't think I read it tonight because I want us to read a few scriptures about Jesus' suffering, his punishment, and how he went on. If we had a Good Friday service, those would be some of the scriptures we'll read, of course. We don't have a Good Friday corporate, not a corporate service anyways. I want to read some of those scriptures tonight. He sacrificed. And when Noah put those animals, it's not the body of the animals. The fact that, you know, of course, you know, when you're doing a barbecue, right, and you put your beef, your steak, your chicken or your turkey or whatever it is on that grill, and you know people can smell that thing from a distance, a good smell. That's because of the animal. That's because of the animal that you are grilling. That's because of the meat that you are grilling. The sacrifice that sends up a sweet aroma is not because of the animal that is being grilled or that is being burnt. No, it's the power of the act of the sacrifice. My goodness. There's such revelation in that, my friends. It's the power of the act of the sacrifice. See, the sacrifices that send up this sweet aroma, they're not always animals on that are being burnt by fire. You remember, Paul said something similar to the Philippians in Philippians chapter 4. He said, I received the gift that you sent. Oh, glory to God. He said, I received the gift. The gift were not animals being burned. No, they were sacrifices. The people that made those gifts were sacrificing things that were precious to them. They were giving of themselves. Hallelujah. They were giving. They were giving out of what they did not have. They were pressed, but they were giving anyways. They were stripping themselves of things that they would have loved to keep and use for themselves. They gave them away. And that act of sacrifice sent up a sweet-smelling aroma to God the Father. And God said, that's acceptable to me. Oh, glory to God. That he says, that sacrifice, that's acceptable to me. And because of that sacrifice, I will bless you. I will bless you in a way that you could never, ever have imagined. I will redeem your bloodline. I would take out every curse. I would, hallelujah, because of the power of your sacrifice. My friends, sacrifice is powerful. Sacrifice is awesome. I know, in one of my teachings last year, and I have a line, and I can't get to it now. It's somewhere in my notes. Everything began with sacrifice. The world was created by sacrifice. Man was redeemed by sacrifice. Creation started by sacrifice. It was continued by sacrifice. It was redeemed by sacrifice. Hallelujah. And it continues on. It continues on through sacrifice. Sacrifice is so powerful. So Paul said to these Philippian Christians, he said to them in Philippians chapter 4, glory to God. Oh, I love it so much. In Philippians chapter 4 and verse 18, he says, but I have all and I abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell. An odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God. It was not animals. They didn't send God's servant. They didn't send him animals. There's nothing wrong in sending animals. Abel offered animals. The Lord was pleased, blessed. Noah offered animals. Yeah, the Lord was pleased. But it's not the animal. It's the act. It's the power of the act of sacrifice. And the value of what is being offered. Paul said, I have all and I abound, having received of Epaphroditus the things that were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice, acceptable, well-pleasing to God. And what makes it acceptable and well-pleasing to God is that it is rooted in love. It is rooted in love. It's not a sacrifice. It's not, we just use fling. Just take it. Okay, you want it? Take it. You can have it. No, that's not. That has no sweet aroma. But when it is offered in love from the heart, and when the value is so great, is so precious, it's a sweet aroma that rises up to the Father. So you remember Noah's sacrifice, hallelujah, in Genesis chapter 8. The Lord smelled a sweet aroma. So you see, we've seen it now in the epistles. We've seen it in Philippians. Now we're going to see it at the beginning of the book in Genesis chapter 8. Right? Genesis chapter 8 and verse 20. And Noah, this is after they came out of the ark, and Noah builded an altar unto the Lord, and took of every clean beast, and of every clean fowl, and offered burnt offerings on the altar. Verse 21. And the Lord smelled a sweet savor, a sweet perfume, a sweet aroma. And the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake, for the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite anymore every living thing as I have done. While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease. The bloodline of man was redeemed because of that sacrifice that Noah made. Hallelujah. Of course, it ended up being temporary, because before long, man was back in his corruption again, until Jesus came and offered that eternal sacrifice. Perfect. Perfect. Hallelujah. Perfect. Glorious. Glorious. And that sacrifice sent up a sweet-smelling aroma to our Father. And God looked at him, and God looked at that sacrifice, and God said, I will never, ever again put a separation between the redeemed and myself. I will never again set myself against my redeemed, my children. Everyone that comes through this sacrifice, everyone that receives this sacrifice, everyone that accepts this sacrifice, everyone that is joined to me by this sacrifice, our bloodline is redeemed forever. And it's not temporary like it was during the time of Noah. Hallelujah. The redemption is forever. It's permanent, it's perpetual, it's everlasting. Because of the glory and the power of that sacrifice. So you remember in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 2, Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 2, the Bible tells us about the sacrifice. Hallelujah. The sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. How powerful that sacrifice was. Glory to God. And he says, and walk in love. This is the King James. And walk in love as Christ also has loved us. As Christ loved us and has given himself for us. He has given himself for us an offering. An offering and a sacrifice to God. For a sweet smelling savor. When the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ went, when he made his sacrifice and gave up his life, a sweet smelling aroma rose up to our Father. God smelled a sweet smelling perfume in heaven and poured our blessing, perpetual eternal blessing upon humanity. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I love the way this is in the Living Bible. I love other translations here as well. But in the Living Bible, it says, be full of love for others, following the example of Christ. Christ who loved you and gave himself to God as a sacrifice to take away your sins. And God was pleased, for Christ's love for you was like sweet perfume to him. And God was pleased, for Christ's love for you was like sweet perfume to God. Sweet-smelling aroma to God. Let's read about his sacrifice. Let's walk that road with him tonight. Put some light on. Let's just read a few scriptures. I don't have much to say. But I want us, let's read about what he did for. Let's start out from Isaiah 53. Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 3. Let's read it together. If you have your Bibles, let's read it together. It's the sacrifice that the Lord Jesus Christ made for us. This is the road that he walked. This is how he purchased redemption for man. This is how he pulled us out of death and translated us into the kingdom of God. Let's read Isaiah 53 from verse 3. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Hallelujah. He was despised for us because of his love for us. He was acquainted with grief. He was a man of sorrows. The sorrows came from us, from our sin. He carried our sins and took it upon himself on the cross. Verse 4, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yes, he did. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. Yes, he was. Smitten of God, stricken, afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, our rebellion. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes, the stripes were healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. The Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Verse 10. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. When you shall make the soul an offering, when you shall make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul, and he shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Verse 12, therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he has poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. You see his redemptive act. He died, he paid the price. He rose, he ascended. But here, look, he has made intercession for the transgressors. He started on the tree. His first intercession for the transgressors was on the cross. Right there, looking down at the people who hung him on that cross. Looking down at the people who spat on him. The people who mocked him. The people who called him names. The people who abused him. Looking down at them. Instead of cursing them out. Instead of carrying animosity against them, he looked at them and he looked at his father and he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing. His ministry of intercession started from that moment. See, he had made intercession for the transgressors. The same transgressors who put him on the cross, who tortured him, who punished him. He looked at them and lifted up his eyes to his Father and said, Father, interceded for them. Father, please forgive them. For they know not what they do. I want us to go and read in Mark chapter 16. Let's walk with the Lord a few verses here before I close tonight. Mark chapter 15, and I want to read from verse 16 all the way down. All the way down. Mark 15, from verse 16 all the way down to verse 39. Hallelujah. It's going to be a long one. But I want us to walk that road with him. I want us to see what this cost him. I want us to read together. I know we read it all individually. We read it periodically. But let's read it all together tonight. The weight of his sacrifice. The weight of his sacrifice. How he carried that burden so gallantly. The Bible says, we just read that in Isaiah chapter 53. Our transgressions were placed upon him. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. For every one of our transgressions, they wounded him. But as they wounded him, the price was paid for our redemption. For all of our iniquities, they bruised him. But as they bruised him, the price was paid for our redemption. Because of our lack of peace, he was chastised. He didn't do wrong, but he took that chastisement so that we can have peace. And because of his chastisement, we have shalom today. We have peace. They put stripes on him, on his body. Many stripes on his body. And he took all the stripes. He took all the stripes. And with every stripe, the blood that flowed out of his veins produced healing and restoration and deliverance for you and for me. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I want us to go and read Mark chapter 15. And let's read from verse 16. Let's see what he did. Let's read it together. Mark 15 from verse 16. And the soldiers led him away into the hall called Praetorium, and they called together the whole band. And they clothed him with purple and plaited a crown of thorns and put it about his head. And they began to salute him, Hail, King of the Jews! They were mocking him. They began to salute him, Hail, King of the Jews! He really was the king. And he's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords today. But it was not in that light and it was not in that spirit that they were doing what they were doing here. They were mocking him. They were abusing him. They were doing everything they could to degrade his glory, to strip him of his honor. He was indeed the Son of God. But they treated him like a criminal. And they clothed him with purple and plaited a crown of thorns and put it about his head. And they began to salute him, "Hail, King of the Jews." And they smote him on the head with a reed. And they spit upon him. And bowing their knees, they worshipped him. He really was worthy of worship. But they weren't doing it in that spirit. They were mocking him. They were doing everything they could to strip him of his honor and his lordship. Verse 20, and when they had mocked him, they took off the purple from him and put his own clothes on him and led him out to crucify him. And they compare one Simon, a Cyrenian, who passed by coming out of the country, the father of Alexander and Rufus, to bear his cross. And they brought him to the place called Golgotha, which is being interpreted the place of his skull. And they gave him to drink wine mingled with myrrh, but he received it not. And when they had crucified him, they parted his garments, casting lots upon them what every man should take. And it was the third hour, and they crucified him. Verse 26. And the superscription of his accusation was written over the King of the Jews. Hallelujah. It's not just the King of the Jews. It's the King of kings and Lord of lords. Hallelujah. And with him, they crucified two thieves, the one on his right hand and the other on his left. And the scripture was fulfilled, which said he was numbered with the transgressors. And they that passed by railed on him, wagging their heads and saying, "Ah, thou, you who destroyed the temple, you said you will build it in 3 days. Why don't you save yourself now and come down from the cross?" They were mocking him. They were dishonoring him. He really could have. He really could have. Remember one time he said to his disciples, says, if I wanted, I could call a legion of angels. He really could have. He had the authority and he had the power. But he did not. That was his sacrifice. He took the pain. He took the assault. Even though he could have stopped it, but he took it because of his love and his sacrifice for us. They wagged their heads saying, "Oh, you were going to destroy the temple and build it in 3 days. Why don't you save yourself now and come down from the cross?" Likewise, also the chief priests, mocking him, said amongst themselves with the scribes, "He saved others, himself he cannot save. Let Christ the King of Israel descend now. Let us all see it. Let him descend from the cross. Let's all see it, and then we will believe." And even they that were crucified alongside him, the two thieves, well, one of them was, reviled him. And when the sixth hour was come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," which is being interpreted, "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?" For a moment, our Father took his eyes off of his only begotten Son. That's why the Bible says, he spared not his own Son, in Romans 8. He who spared not his own Son, but gave him up for us, how will he not also freely give unto us all things? Romans 8, I think that's verse 32. How will he not also freely, through him, give us all things? Hallelujah. Romans 8:32. He who spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely forgive us all things. He spared not his own son. He took his eyes off of him. And Jesus said, wow, Father, you forsook me. We got this done. Oh, thank you, Jesus. You got this done. Oh, thank you, Jesus. In that hour of agony, in that hour of agony, you stayed there. You took it all for us. You got it done. Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which is being interpreted, my God, why have you forsaken me? And some of the people that stood by when they heard it, they said, he's calling Elijah. And one ran and filled a sponge full of vinegar and put it on a reed and gave it to him to drink. Say, okay, let's see whether Elijah will come and take him down. Even in that, they were mocking him. And Jesus cried with a loud voice and gave up the ghost. And the veil of the temple was rent into two from the top to the bottom. And when the centurion which stood over against him saw that, he so cried out and gave up the ghost. He said, oh, truly, this man was the Son of God. That was his sacrifice. His sacrifice of love for you and for me. Oh, we thank God. Oh, we thank our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, we celebrate him. Oh, we celebrate his love. Oh, we celebrate his sacrifice. And we thank you, Lord. You didn't remain in that grave. You did not remain in that grave. You went all the way to hell. And you released all the captives that were there. You set them free. And you rose up on the third day by the glory of God for our justification. For our justification. You rose up to the right hand of the Father. And even there, you continue your ministry. You continue to intercede for us every day. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for everything you have done for us. Thank you, Father. We give you all the glory. Oh, we celebrate you, we honor you. They try to strip you of your honor, but we place that honor back on you tonight. They try to denigrate you. They try to despise you. They try to shame you. They mock you, they spit on you. But we give you glory tonight. We esteem you. We esteem you. Hallelujah. We esteem you. We bless you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, our Father. We give you praise. We give you praise. We celebrate you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Oh, what a glory. Thank you, saints, for joining us tonight. Thank you for being a part of this celebration. Oh, thank you for walking that road with us. We were on the sidelines, but it was an intimate experience observing what our Lord and our Savior endured for us. I'm so excited. Let's celebrate him all through this week and this weekend. And Resurrection Sunday, and every day afterwards. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I look forward to seeing you soon, very soon. God bless you. God bless you. And good night.